say it so often, but we do say it sincerely. Just good to get together and appreciate everyone's desire to be with us today for a time of not only just friendship and fellowship, but a time of worship together. And again, there is an outline of the bulletin this morning for those who'd like to follow along as we go through the lesson. I know we spoke about Thanksgiving last Lord's Day, and that lesson was pretty much how to develop an attitude of Thanksgiving. It kind of gave you a little recipe or a procedure or kind of like memory marks to help us to remember to be a people of thanks. The lesson this morning focuses more on the spiritual side of life and looking at God's blessings toward us and giving thanks with an uplifted head, recognizing God as a bountiful giver of all good things in our life. We use the story that was read to us this morning by way of introduction. It begins with the 10 men. They all had a horrible disease, made them unclean. They were isolated from society, filled them with despair because they didn't recognize any remedy. They all not only had the horrible disease, they all cried out for mercy. And so in their affliction, they turned to God. They all received mercy. The Bible says, as they went, then they were healed in that action of obedience to Jesus' command to them. And then one of them, he was grateful. And the voice of prayer became the voice of praise from this one. One returned to say, thank you, thank you. The nine in the story were ungrateful. They did not return to Jesus to give praise and thanks. They were nearer, and I put in your notes, nearer to Jesus in their affliction than they were in their health. They prayed when they were in distress. And now they are silent when they should have shouted thanksgiving. Thank you should have been the response. Remember the story of a man in a ship in the midst of a terrible storm. The wind and the waves in this particular story seem to have the victory. And so the man falls to his knees in the midst of the storm and he begins to pray. And he says, Lord, he said, I haven't been a praying man. Haven't talked to you in 40 years. However, if you'll hear me now this once and get me safe to shore, I promise not to bother you for another 40 years. Sometimes that's the way we live our life. We remember God in distress. But when times are good, we need to say thank you. And when we've been blessed, say thank you. Just put in your notes just as an observation or reminder. The Bible puts someone that's unthankful in a rather disparaging light. You look at the list of these things that Paul describes as perilous times. And he says, this is what perilous times will look like. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it talks about the perilous times will come. In verse 2, the description begins. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy. The list continues. Truce breakers, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, a form, but denying the power thereof. We look at the list and we say, I wouldn't be associated with any of those kinds of people that do those things. But right in the middle is unthankful. Unthankful is associated with these attitudes and actions. So we want to say thank you. So I put in your notes that many things in the Bible remind us to give thanks, and that's what this is this morning, a reminder of the bountiful blessings, a reminder to say, you know, with heads up or heads bowed, eyes closed, hands folded, but just with our words, thank you, God, thank you. Number one, Psalm 92, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read the whole text. In your notes, I may have just put a key word or a phrase. But Psalm 92, verse 1. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. To sing, he said. It's a good thing to give thanks and to sing. We have songs of thanksgiving in our hymnal. I will sing the wondrous story, we sing. We sing the song, Sing On, Ye Joyful Pilgrims. We encourage and admonish and exhort one another to sing. Sing to me of heaven. Tell me the old story, we sing. Refresh our memory. And our songs do that. They reflect a biblical message. There's songs of encouragement, songs of praise, song of admonition, songs that lift us up. I will sing of my Redeemer. I will sing. So the psalmist is saying it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises. Then he also mentions to show forth loving kindness, God's loving kindness, God's faithfulness. And that's part of our testimony. That's part of our advertisement to let other people know on whose side we belong and on whose side we stand. It's an advertisement that we are on God's side. And thanksgiving, that's an expression of our gratitude to God. That's part of when we say show and tell something, that's part of the tell. Give thanks. It's not thanks thinking. It's not thanks wishing. It's thanksgiving. Giving. Show forth your loving kindness. Praise is an expression of gratitude to God for what He is to us. God, I praise You for who You are. When you think of the attributes of God, when I think about Your holiness, You are just, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. You can add to the list. When I think about God's quality of character, I want to praise Him. Praise. We sing songs like that. One of our songs this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We sing other songs, To God Be the Glory. Glory to His name. We sing, We praise Thee, O God. Or our God, He is alive. We sing, He gave me a song. When you think and reflect about God's character, what He does for us, we say it. And we show it, His faithfulness. Number two, after he says it's a good thing to give thanks, the psalmist in Psalm 30, verse 4, Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Sing. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Song we sing in our book, He Paid a Debt, is the title of it. But the words of that song, He, in the references, puts all the glory to Him. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. It's hymn number 376 in the book. But then the song continues, I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. The psalmist says, Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. When I think what God did for me, what I could not do for myself, He made provision for me that I could not provide. I just say, thank you. Thank you. And I want to sing that. Sing it out. You know, in the one area of our Lord's Supper, it gives thanks. When Jesus instituted that supper, you know, He took the bread, gave thanks. Took the cup, gave thanks. Gave thanks. And remember what's about to happen. And I'm wondering when I think about that story in that upper room, Jesus, you're going to give thanks for this cup that represents blood that's about to be sacrificed. You're going to say thanks? Thanks? What's to be thankful for in going through a crucifixion? And the answer is that He's providing for us something that we needed. He's provided something voluntarily. And He provided something sacrificially. When you put those three things together, there is an element of joy in giving. If I'm giving to you something voluntarily, something that you need, and something sacrificially that you cannot provide for yourselves, I'm thinking, there's a sense of satisfaction, even though it may have cost me time or talent or treasure or effort or whatever else that I need to muster up to get this gift to you. No matter what struggle I need to go through, I'm going to be thankful that I can do it because you need it. And I'm doing it because I want to, voluntarily. Even if it's I have to sacrifice for it. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints, and give thanks. Number three was in Psalm 119, verse 62. It says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteousness. I'm not always thankful for the midnight, but he's saying at midnight, there's an occasion maybe arise for me to give thanks. Because the word midnight in this text is suggesting, you know, some deep darkness, not the time on the clock. He's suggesting by this phrase midnight when we're at the depths of despair. Midnight is when we're down and out. The midnight of your life and mine is when things are looking gloomy. Midnight is, and he's saying, when these situations exist, that's the time to rise up and give thanks. At midnight? Yeah, when I'm in distress. Many of us, we have sorrows. We're discouraged. We're physically ill. Lonely. Fearful. And the challenge of the psalm is during those times to rise up and give thanks. That's the challenge. I put two illustrations in your notes. One was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Whatever that was, he's praying. He prayed persistently. He prayed earnestly. God, take it away. God said no. And we've all seen the plaque on our kitchen walls. Prayer changes things. And sometimes we think, well, I'm going to pray and no, God's going to change it. But what happens when God doesn't change the thing you prayed for? What are you going to do? You prayed persistently. You prayed earnestly. Could be a health situation. It could be the job that you have. It could be co-workers. It could be the neighborhood where you live and you just can't rise up and change anything. But you prayed persistently, earnestly, God, change this. But God sends an angel, or God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Then you look at Jesus in the garden. Surely God will answer his son's request exactly as he requested it. But Jesus goes into the garden, and he prays, sweat is drops of blood. He's sincere and earnest. Let this cup pass from me. But yet, and the answer comes down, no. The answer is no. I'm not going to change the circumstance. I'm not going to change the situation. God's son. He said everything correctly. He lived rightly. Surely God will bless this man. And answer it exactly. He says no. But he sends an angel to strengthen him. So there will be times in your life and mine that there will be situations we absolutely cannot change. Absolutely cannot. We're going to have to live with it, maybe even for the rest of our life. At midnight, you still rise up and pray and give thanks. And a quote I kind of gave in a lesson class time this morning, and this kind of came to me. The idea of when you can't change the circumstance, you change your attitude. Because prayer will not always change things. So if you have that plaque on the wall in your kitchen, prayer changes things, put another one beside it. Prayer changes me. Changes me. To live with the situation I'm in. And we can do it. At midnight, I'll rise up and give thanks. Just a story. My in-laws lived with us because in poor health years and years ago. And my father-in-law was in poor health. My mother-in-law, too, she had Alzheimer's. But one time it was Daryl, my father-in-law, told the story. It was about 1:30 in the morning, and he got up to use the restroom, and or it might have been midnight because that fits the text. But anyway, 1:30 a.m., he gets up to use the restroom. When he comes out, his wife, Wilma, my mother-in-law, is making the bed. Midnight didn't mean anything to her. She had Alzheimer's. The time on the clock doesn't mean a thing. So, but he kind of laughed about that. And so he says, well, I'm just thankful that she's there and wants to make the bed. So he stayed up with her. But at midnight, I'll rise up and give thanks. Give thanks. Number four. In 2 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God. Give thanks. Thanks be to God. Gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This chapter reviews the blessings that we have because of Jesus' resurrection. And Paul speaks of the victory to you and me, to Christians. The victory we have over the grave because of Jesus' resurrection. Now I'm just going to give you a list rather quickly here. In verses 12 through 20, Paul lays out line upon line, reason upon reason, that why we have faith in Jesus' resurrection. He begins in verse 12 and says, you know, people cannot say there is no resurrection. You can't say that. Because in verse 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Wait a minute. I believe that my body is going to be resurrected because Jesus was resurrected. A resurrection. Verse 14. If Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, why am I here preaching? I know you've been wondering that for a long time anyway. Why? But our preaching is vain. We're just going through motions if there hasn't been a resurrection. Preaching is vain. It's empty. It's useless. We're just preaching good words and maybe how to live nicely in life if there hasn't been a resurrection. And the verse continues not only that, but your faith is also in vain. Why do you believe what I'm saying if there hasn't been a resurrection? He begins to lay line upon line, reason upon reason. In verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. So Paul and the apostle saying, wait a minute, we are preaching a non-truth if Jesus hasn't been resurrected. We're false witnesses. He says in verse 17, if Christ not be raised, ye are yet in your sins. The resurrection has an effect on our eternal destiny, on our forgiveness. If there's no resurrection, there's no forgiveness of sins. That's what he says, another line of reasoning. He continues in verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, if there's no resurrection, then those who have died, they just died. That's all there is. There isn't anything else beyond the grave. Those who have lived before us and they died, they're gone. Nothing to look forward to if there is no resurrection. And then in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are fallen in most miserable. The idea is saying if Jesus just makes life bearable for this life only. Well, good. We can get those from self-help books on how to live successfully in life. But he says if there's no resurrection, then we have no hope. And then the last one is in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. You see, where Jesus is gone, we will one day go. So he begins with this in chapter 15, verse 57. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, God. Number five in your notes. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Everything? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Sometimes you're going to have to look for an area of thanksgiving in everything. But he's saying no matter what the situation, there's a reason for thanksgiving in it. We see that even in life, when the news, when there's a disaster, someone's lost their homes especially, might have been a tornado or a fire, and they're interviewed by the newsmen. And one of the first things they say, I'm so thankful we got out. You lost everything. I'm so thankful no lives were lost. You don't have anything left, but I'm so thankful that there were neighbors that came to our rescue. You lost everything, but I'm so thankful. You get the idea? Even in the most troublesome times, these people, I don't even know what their faith would be, but they find a time to say thank you in the worst of times. There was a book called The Hiding Place. It was written by Corrie Ten Boom. It's a story of the encampments in Nazi Germany. And in this book, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom, she has a chapter in there titled Thank God for the Fleas. And in this one little short chapter, Thank God for the Fleas, she was telling one of her other folks there in that detention hut, that building, you know, this might have been Sunday or Lord's Day, we need to offer thanks to God. And the lady next to her says, thanks God for what? We're here, and they described that situation. She said, we're going to thank God for the fleas. For the fleas? Why would you do that? Because of the fleas, Corrie Ten Boom says, the soldiers don't come into our hut as often as they do the other huts. The inspections are not as often because of the fleas. But they're biting you. Yep, thank God for the fleas. In everything, give thanks. Find the thanks. In 1 Thessalonians, I just read that. In number 6. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. In Jesus' death on the cross, Paul saw God's payment for everything he had ever done wrong and everything he would do wrong. He saw a payment for forgiveness. And he said, it's unspeakable that I can be forgiven for my crimes. That I can be forgiven for the things that I've said. Do you know how much I've hurt people? You know what I've done? Things that I can't repair. I'm just too bad. Paul says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That's the way he described it, forgiveness. See, there's none too bad to be saved. I've had people tell me, Brian, I've committed too many sins for too long, and they're too horrible. Too many. Too long, and they're too horrible. God can't forgive me. Yes, he can. You come to God, God's way, God will forgive. God will forgive. So Paul says, thank you. That's an unspeakable gift. Unspeakable. I'm too bad to be saved. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's the lesson on things to be thankful for. Partial list of the Bible things. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. You're here this morning, I remember the New Testament church. You've heard the good news. God so loved the world, he sent his son. You believe that. You're willing to turn your life around. Bible calls it repentance. Confess your faith that Jesus is God's son. You can be baptized for remission of sins. from that point on, begin to walk in newness of life. Grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend. We sing a song to give you time to reflect on that invitation. If that's your resolve, that's your desire to be baptized this morning, or ask brethren for strength or encouragement, while we're singing this song, just come and have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll simply ask you, what's on your mind? And you say, Brian, I want to be baptized. Or, Brian, I want brethren to pray with me or for me. So let's stand together, sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your desire to respond in a public way, please do so while we're singing this.